Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 613. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
It's been an okay day. I am not going to argue with the work from home, especially in the winter months here in the great state of Ohio. Good day. And I did see the news of Sting appearing in AEW on the Twitter, but to get to our original planned topic here, I managed to go Twitter dark. And I avoided the Jon Moxley versus Kenny Omega result, knowing full well that I would not get to it last evening. And I guess I was glad that I did. Like, it was kind of interesting what ended up going down there. But I do, I think I like what happened there. I think that should work out well for AEW. What do you think?
I have no idea how this is a tough one. I mean, okay, let's explain what happened first. Okay, Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley had their match. It was fine, I guess. And then but ended with after the outside interference of one Don Callis from Impact Wrestling helping Kenny Omega defeat Jon Moxley to become the new AEW World Champion, and fleeing the arena into a waiting car where Callis delivered the news that they will explain their actions on Impact on Tuesday night.
Oh, you know what? I did not tape the overrun. And I did not see that.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
Wow. Because was that on Overrun or was I just, did I tap out?
It might have gone a little over.
Okay.
Not a lot. They were saying that they had the permission to go all night, but that did not happen.
Well, I erased it already, so I don't know if I just brain farted and just thought that they were running from the arena and just flat out missed that part, or if it did overrun a little bit. Anyway, I guess I missed it since I did not hear that part. Wow, that's interesting news.
Yeah. I've had an entire day to digest this. You've had 90 seconds.
Well, and even if I didn't have 90 seconds, I still just finished watching the program about 30 minutes before we recorded. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, this is relatively new news to me one way or the other.
We're getting a working arrangement between AEW and Impact.
Yeah, it's
which is why I started with I'm not exactly sure what AEW gets out of this.
The women's division.
That is the key speculation, yes. They could use some women.
They could desperately use Impact's women. So yeah, because oh boy, I don't want to get into that, but Hikaru Shida needs to be a topic sometime during the show. So, but yeah, I'm not, yeah, like heavyweight wise, I guess you have Moose over there who could be of some help. I'm trying to think of who offhand, like, if Eddie Edwards stops being the Eddie Edwards that has been in Impact for the last like 5 years, he might be useful. 'Cause yeah, like for the singles division, I'm not sure, like beyond Moose, like I'm really grasping at straws. Like I kind of watched it recently and talked about it with Jeremy recently, and the men's division is not a strong suit for them. So like for you to run an angle for the singles men's championship and really mainly needing women is kind of hiding the story, I guess. But you need to carry through on it, right? Like there needs to be some type of a singles challenge over on Impact.
Is it
Or some crossover from Impact.
there's gotta be some crossover. I don't know, is Kenny Omega declaring his allegiance to Impact? Is this an invasion angle, or how deep in this are we gonna go?
It's something. I'm still like and we're both in the same boat since we use the same TV. Hold on. Did you get rid of the TV provider? Did you not?
Yes, I am now using Hulu Plus with live TV, which does not carry access. But I can still do the Twitch thing. Which I wasn't even sure if they were still doing that. The Twitch simulcast with the cutaways to Melissa Santos getting out of the shower and making herself a smoothie during between commercial breaks with bad audio.
I guess I don't have the time to worry about going over to Twitch to watch Impact.
I'm wondering if I'm going. I don't know yet. I almost don't want to give them the benefit of this crass cross promotional angle to make me watch Impact again.
I know that Jeremy does like to use it as background noise when we're doing a show on Tuesday evenings. I will leave it there. But yeah, I don't like to double screen it. Like I guess I like to have some of our topics up on the screen, and I don't really want to be watching something on my screen as we do this show. I think that's just too distracting to me. So, yeah, there's not really a good way for me to, well, actually, maybe if I am work from home, I might be able to sneak it in from time to time these days.
If you don't have, that's right. If you don't have that 2 hour drive, yeah.
there is some upsides to the situation, a lot of them.
Then you know what? If you can stay up to 11 o'clock on Tuesday, screw it. Let's watch Impact. It beats talking about Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, well, that will.
At least me watching Impact for the first time in 2 or 3 years, maybe, will be interesting.
Anything is good in small doses. I think when you start to try and ingest it for long times is when you start running into problems. And I think that's where I started running into problems. Like, it was fun for a little bit, but then it was just like, phew, man, okay, I'm kind of just tired of this.
I hope it's one of those cool episodes where they kill someone off in the undead realm.
I would imagine some crazy shit will indeed happen on that episode. I mean, you've got to. You would think, if nothing, you should get something of a pop for the And I mean, that is part of the problem. Like, there's only so much you can do. Like, you really are depending upon people that want to watch it, A, over the internet, to watch these things. Which, yeah, I'm still I still prefer if I can get an app, especially since my TV supports apps now. So them not having their own app, like, I love having just popping the WWE Network onto my TV now. So,
Impact has their own app.
all they do.
I don't think, well, much like with WWE Network, you don't get the most recent episodes of WWE TV of the TV, but
Oh.
they do special events. You can order the pay-per-views through there, even though they're still charging full price for pay-per-views, and the entire library dating back to weekly pay-per-views in Nashville.
Jeez. Okay, yeah. That's kind of like the ROH one. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna pass on that. Like, I'm okay with, like, they have enough content that they can do it. But I'm not sure that that's where I want to spend my money. If especially if I'm gonna have to pay for pay-per-views, I mean, come on. Those days are beyond me, people. And that's something. I mean, how many times have we talked about? Well, you end up caving for some AEW pay-per-views. I don't think I have caved for an AEW pay-per-view yet. Or I might have gotten one early on, but I just.
Yeah, we split it.
Oh shit! Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, that was a good idea.
But no, I get it. But yeah, no. I guess I'll end up watching Impact. So, congrats, guys. You got me. Now let's see what you do with it.
It's definitely a weird relationship because, like, it's one thing. Like, I guess I noticed this week more than others, and maybe I just paid attention to the dark results more than I had previously. But there were a lot of names on there that I saw that I know I've either seen on the independent scene. Well, yeah, a lot of people that pop up on the independent wrestling TV. I feel like I see a lot of names there. And yeah, I guess I don't feel like Impact has anyone like that, but it's kind of funny. Like, I never understand how Don Callis can continually find himself in these positions.
That is the million-dollar question. Yes, Don Callis went from being out of the business for well over a decade to just starting a podcast with his buddy Lance Storm to getting the job to getting a job doing commentary in New Japan, despite the fact that he'd never watched the product before, and actually did a really good job, certainly by the end, and
Yeah.
then and then took over as vice president of Impact along with Scott D'Amore, and now apparently he's negotiated the cross promotional deal of the century, because there really aren't that much more many other cross promotional deals unless you count ROH and New Japan.
Oh.
But this is a bigger scale because AEW is on a bigger scale. The show that's on TNT in prime time is definitely light years ahead of where Impact is right now.
Right.
But yeah, as you pointed out, and as others have pointed out, AEW desperately needs to bolster their women's ranks. They've already, brought in the women from the NWA and the NWA Women's Championship. Very interesting. The NWA Men's Championship. And Nick Aldis is not a part of this deal. God, someday I want to find out what the story there, because it just seems like that guy has low key, burnt bridges And I have no idea how or why.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. Like I really thought he had something, and I kind of liked, I've liked his performances because I've seen him pop up both on Impact and ROH, and I think he does a decent job. But yeah, it's just like, yep, one and done here, buddy. We're yep, thanks, nice having you. And he's gone again. Unlike a lot of returning guests from the same company. And then, like you said, like you don't hear any stories, and he's married. Yeah, no. And you're supposed to presume he's a good guy because he's with Mickie James still, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're still together. They have kids. And, you know, Mickie James is a beloved person throughout wrestling. So, yeah, it's a weird, weird deal. So he has yet to make his way with his championship to AEW. But any number of women and, I guess, male wrestlers from Impact will be making their way into AEW, and yes, Impact took advantage of the lag time between, I would say, All In, the formation of AEW, and the actual launch of AEW shows and Dynamite to sign women to multi-year deals that AEW could not get their hands on without making an actual deal with Impact.
Well, that's the thing that I'm still... there are a number of women that I feel like AEW could have gotten their hands on, but they failed to do so.
That's very possible, too.
Yes. Poor Mercedes Martinez is wasting away in WWE / NXT, and I have, like, AEW should have been sending her a yacht full of money to come and wrestle for them. And I'm trying to think of, like, Impact wise, like, even Jordan, someone like Jordan Grace, I would think that AEW would have considered her at least, because she went to All Out, so she was definitely on their radar, but I'm trying to remember, had she signed with Impact at that point, or was it afterwards that she signed with Impact?
I'm pretty sure it was afterwards she signed with Impact.
So, like, there are definitely people like her and Deonna Purrazzo.
Month after, October 16th, 2018, it was reported that Grace signed a 2-year deal with Impact Wrestling. 2 years? Which must mean that she also resigned.
Oh.
that will also be the interesting part in all of this, and if all of the talent that AEW gets from Impact to Moonlight doesn't eventually end up with them full time anyway, and Impact end up with nothing. But in the short term, Impact seems to be the one that would benefit the most from the partnership. Because
like I said, like, it's been hard for me, and I still don't even know how much time I can always invest in Impact. Just on a consistent basis. Like, it might get them a little bit of a pop for a while, but how many people are going to want to stick around for that, like, over a long-term haul?
Well, they're going to have to do this is going to require more than just a promo from Kenny Omega and Don Callis. Something's going to have to happen. At least between Impact and next week's AEW. To keep people, at the very least, going back to Impact. This cannot be a one-way street of Impact talent showing up on
Oh.
TV, but almost nobody from AEW being on Impact except for Kenny Omega.
Well, that would be hilarious. Hey, yeah, Sean Spears, you haven't really done anything. Can you head on over to Impact for us, please? Thanks. Like every WWE guy that hasn't really gotten a spotlight in AEW gets shipped over to Impact.
That's usually how these things go when a big company and a small company do business with each other. The big company sends their undercard, and the small company sends their main eventers. Who? I don't know how this happened. End up with the bigger company full time, and he went by the end of this whole thing anyway.
Yeah, it's an interesting relationship. Like you said, like I guess we'll see what it is like. But I on a regular basis, is this going to change my mind about Impact? I highly doubt it. Like, will you get me to watch this one time? Sure. Maybe for a couple of weeks or something, I might be able to pull it off. But, whew, man. I like the wacky wrestling stuff, but it's almost one of those ones where I'd like a clip show better. You know, I could roll with a clip show of Impact if I could find that. But no one really likes those, so I'm probably asking for something that, like, 12 people on the internet like.
I wouldn't mind watching old TNA stuff, no.
No, I just mean new stuff. Like, if I could get, like, a half-hour SportsCenter version of, like, Impact of the past week, like, if they could condense two hours down into 30 minutes, I think I could be there for that. Like, if yeah. Because that's, well, or even 45 minutes. Because I've got I can watch it on my TV, which I've kind of been more consistently watching ROH again, but I can knock that out in 45 minutes, or AKA while we're doing one of these shows, and be just fine with my life. I guess there's probably a Twitch app, now that I think about it, now that we're talking about these apps. I wonder if I can...
Yeah, there's definitely a Twitch app. The handful of times I've used it.
Wide Open West is not always the best about having apps on their on their service, so it might be a provider problem. But that's a good idea. I'm gonna check that right now. But anyway, I don't want that to derail the conversation here.
Yeah, no. Really, what needs to happen is, while Moxley and Kalas are cutting their promo, John Moxley has to show up ready to tear shit up. There is no reason why John Moxley wouldn't go to Impact to get his hands on Kenny Omega. Unless they couldn't actually talk John into it, which tells you right there where this is going.
Oh man, yeah, that's
no. I'm not doing that on my off day. Nope.
Oh man, I don't know. I guess it's just it's so bizarre going into this, just because. It's also one of those ones where Impact is at least big enough that, like, the WWE dwarfs, like, any of the companies when they were kind of working with them. Like, when they had a working relationship with ROH, like, it was clear who was A and who was B. And, I mean, I think there is in this situation, too, but at least... I mean, I've got to give Impact something. They have been around for this long now.
Oh, at this point.
Like, I can't believe that they have hung in that long, honestly. Like,
at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if there will become a time when WWE is gone and somehow Impact is still running shows.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be hilarious if that ended up happening. I would fall over laughing. But I don't think that's gonna... I would be pretty shocked if that happens in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, excellent. So, I guess I can get Twitch on my TV app. So, Impact Wrestling, I guess, here we come. So...
Oh, that's right, on WoW, you don't... You wouldn't have access, that's right.
No, I don't actually have access on my cable service, but because it's also something of a Roku, Apple TV type situation built into it, I can download apps. So, yeah, I guess I didn't even think about it. So, yeah, I guess Impact Wrestling could become background fodder recording one of these shows in the near future. Oh, so, yeah, I guess that could be on the docket here for the next week. But I also kind of agree, and I think we can move on after this, with your point that with that type of a tease, there's a big jump between doing that on a Wednesday and then having the next show be on a Tuesday, especially with how active people are with this stuff. Like, I would imagine that there are going to be some breadcrumbs between now and then.
Yeah.
So, that'll be kind of interesting. And, you know, that was some big news. There was also the big news that Sting made a quite the surprise appearance on Impact. Good God. Well, I mean, he's already been there, so I guess that's technically true. Sting made it his appearance on Dynamite for the first time. Evidently he is going to be around for a couple of years. Your thoughts on the situation here, sir?
You know, cool moment. I was not prepared for Sting. I was crossing my fingers for Glacier, gotta be honest. But no, you said it was a really cool moment. Good to see Sting. You know, Tony Schiavone sold the hell out of it. It was great to hear Tony Schiavone yell, "It's Sting!" nostalgia to that. So that was cool. Jim Ross sounded like he couldn't have given a shit less, but. But that's pretty much Jared's thing nowadays.
Yeah, well, I was not surprised that Sight Curmudgeon, Mr. Mays, did text me and tell me that he was not impressed with Tony Schiavone during that segment.
What could possibly be your problem with Tony Schiavone during that segment?
I guess he did not feel like maybe he was selling it enough.
Enough?
Yeah.
What else was he supposed to do? Run out and give the man a hug?
Thank,
on the table?
Thank God that did not happen.
Yeah, no. But again, cool moment. Glad it happened. As far as Sting being a regular presence on Impact while seemingly not wrestling, not sure exactly what you do with him. I mean, great for the moment. They've already apparently sold a ton of shirts in the last just the last 24 hours. I guess that broke the 24-hour record over at ProWrestlingTees.com for the new Sting AEW logo t-shirt.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, Sting's getting paid. But, once again, where are we at a month from now? Where are we at 6 months from now? What does Sting do?
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's not like Sting is one of wrestling's greatest all-time great promos. It was nearly never his thing. And so it's like, where does he fit in? you know, as a regular presence, I don't know. And of course, there will certainly be pressure to have him have a match, which I don't know if at 61 years old that's a good idea. But it seems at first that they're not going to go in that direction. But once again, what do you do with him?
that is my main problem, honestly, is that it's. I don't see what you do with him. Like, I really don't. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, him being there. Like, it's just another old guy that they have around there for, I don't know what reason. Like, I know that Tully Blanchard cuts some promos for FTR, but I still sit there and go, why? In my head. And like you said, like, and Tully Blanchard knows how to deliver a promo better than Sting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And if I don't care about Tully Blanchard doing it, I'm sure as hell not going to be caring about Sting doing it. So, yeah, it's confusing, to say the least. Other than the moment and the surprise and everything, I don't know where you go from here. And if that's what you're gonna rate that on, I guess cool, but it shouldn't even be long term. Like, just his whole time there, like, I don't know what they're gonna do. You know? I really don't.
I keep saying it over and over again. Like, AEW has made it this far without an on-screen authority figure, and technically, I guess it's Tony Khan, who is rarely seen, and his voice is never heard. And I don't see Sting being a manager for anybody. That would never work. Yeah. Oh, good luck. You gave people a pleasant surprise last night. And you're paying the guy a lot of money for a long-term contract.
Yeah, well, and you're not. It's not like they're making money off of Pro Wrestling Tees. Direct, you know what I mean? Like, that's not their merch, right? Like, I mean, they might get a small cut, but they have a deal.
I don't know the exact nature of their deal with Pro Wrestling Tees, but I assume they're making good bank off of it.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, I guess if it was worth the shirt sales, but I don't know if it might bring more eyeballs, because I guess, didn't ESPN tweet something about it?
Yeah, ESPN, yeah, it got some good play, and apparently they really wanted Sting or someone who was a regular on Nitro on their TV, feeling like that they can bring back some old fans with it. And best of luck with them. Best of luck to them.
That's the one that
nostalgia wears off quickly, especially if Sting's not going to be wrestling or really in the thick of things.
And I don't. Yeah, he's not going. Like, I just can't see how it's practical for him to be in the thick of things. You know,
no,
just.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, Seth Rollins did what he did, you know what I mean? Whether purposeful or not, like, the last time we saw Sting, he was kind of out of wrestling for good. So, yeah, I guess there's not a whole lot of cause for positivity, in my opinion. Like, if you're expecting him to be back in the ring, and really, yeah, you're just asking for an old man to have a heart attack if that's what you're expecting.
Yeah. No, not good.
So, yeah. What else was there on Dynamite that stuck out to you here, other than I would definitely say that those were the big events. What else stuck out to you?
Putting me on the spot with this.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'd take a little load off of myself.
Wow. I mean, nothing.
Nothing.
I'm trying to think what else was on that show. Oh, the Inner Circle busting up. And apparently an ultimatum next week that could lead to the end of the Inner Circle.
Yeah, it's been one of those things that I guess I have never quite gotten. MJF wanting to be in there, and why they're just... I guess it's kind of interesting, the people who they're trying to get out of the group, maybe, quote unquote, because they ended up kind of with some duplicates. Like, you don't need Wardlow and Jake Hager in the same group. Like, it's redundant to have two guys like that in the same group. And Sammy Guevara and MJF kind of have similar characteristics to themselves.
Yeah, they do. And they're both very similar to Jericho as well.
Yeah, so having three...
Jericho only needs one junior member of the group who is going to be the next him.
Yes, agreed. So...
I speculated that, you know, eventually, MJF is going to boot Jericho out of his own group, which it could be possible. But also, there's other issues with this group. I mean, once again, we've talked about it. Jake Hager seems to have no, seems to just not be interested in wrestling anymore. It's just a paycheck, extra paycheck for him. Santana and Ortiz have never really fit the motif of the Inner Circle. I'd like to see them with Eddie Kingston. I think Eddie Kingston has, you know, done well in the past as the mouthpiece for Hispanic tag teams.
Yeah,
and the likes. So.
He definitely would, because as much as I know that they can do it themselves, it feels like they need some help at this point to rehab from their AEW run. Like, Yeah, they have not been treated any better than if they went to WWE.
I don't know if they wouldn't be they wouldn't be treated better there. It's been a, they've been, they've been goons. They've done some comedy. They've had one good match pretty much in the last year. It's just, yeah, they have not been allowed to do much. As I said, I like to see them with Kingston because I think Kingston with Butcher and the Blade doesn't work. They just don't play off each other off each other at all, and you already moved the Lucha Bros back with Pac, so I think it would make sense. But regardless of if you go there, Santana and Ortiz have never fit with Jericho. They don't dress like him, they don't talk like him. There's no reason that they would be friends with Jericho, Guevara, and especially Hager.
Yeah, they've stuck out like sore thumbs from the beginning. And I guess that's what I mean by things are even more interesting because they're playing it as more of an Ortiz problem than a Santana problem. Like that part of the dynamic is strange to me. Because why aren't the tag team guys together in this in their opposition to MJF, and why is it just Ortiz really?
Yeah, it's the whole thing's been, the whole thing's been played weird, yeah.
Like I don't think that's helping out at all. Where the people you would think to find together, and I don't know if they're like, oh, well, too many people are leaving the group and we need to keep Santana around, maybe. Like, I don't, it's really strange what's going on with that whole angle. I mean, I guess it's intriguing because it's that confusing, but it's better than being beaten over the head and obvious with what's going to happen, but it's also not like, it's not so intriguing that I want to know what happens. Like, it's just more of one of those confusing things, and that's not good. And yeah, because we had, and I was kind of scrolling through things here. The only other thing that was kind of a big thing was that Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. We get MJF,
I don't even remember who the last two were.
MJF and Orange Cassidy.
Cool.
So yeah, that's one of those ones where I'm okay with you trying to start up some annual half King of the Ringy type thing, but I don't really care either. Like I don't care who's gonna have the diamond ring for the next year. Like they didn't really use it this past year. They have
MJF used it as a weapon multiple times.
yeah, I guess they used it as that, but that's it. Like I guess if that's the only thing it's going to be used for, like he didn't, did he use it for bragging rights? Yeah, I guess he did.
For a while, wasn't he making people kiss the ring?
He was making people kiss the ring. Okay, they did use it more than I thought. Like it's not like the FTW championship. They have actually been using it. Good for them. I guess if they can keep on going, but it does kind of feel like one of those things that you almost always need to give it to the heel because it doesn't work for anyone else. For a baby face. Like it's always weird for the baby face to be that level of braggadocious about a ring, and Orange Cassidy having the ring would be pretty weird.
Well, pretty weird is Orange Cassidy's specialty.
I mean, I enjoy them, but it's yeah, it's kind of strange what's going on there. So I guess with that being said, and we can put a nice little bow on AEW for this week, and move on to NXT, which that was a show that I can't believe that War Games is on Sunday. Like, for whatever reason, even though they did everything for a go home show that you could probably do, it just didn't feel like a go home show for me for one reason or another. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't really hit me that well.
Yeah, I mean,
I.
they're the men's war games. There really wasn't much left to do but have two promos, and tell people once again, drive home what this is about and the story they're being told. So I mean that's fine. Certainly, TakeOver War Games is pretty much gonna be the last thing wrestling to look forward to, probably for a while. Well, maybe we'll see if AEW and Impact can drum up some interest. But typically, this December to mid-January period is it could certainly be the doldrums of wrestling.
This is also true. I might be looking for more than I should be expecting. I guess just because the last couple of war games have been very entertaining.
Yeah. I wasn't saying that. I was saying that this is gonna be the last thing to look
To
forward to.
L.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'm definitely looking forward to the two War Games matches. Women's War Games with the babyface team having the advantage. That's interesting. We'll see how they weasel their way out of that. Maybe someone can get injured beforehand, so that the advantage is still with the heels,
Oh.
but still make a miraculous recovery by the end. So, yeah, I mean, it's a running joke that the heels always win the man advantage, but
Oh.
the match doesn't work otherwise.
No, it would be really strange for the heels to one up or the baby faces to one up them constantly.
Yeah,
Cause
so
I
I
and cause it's one thing to have if the baby faces just had an advantage to start off, it'd be one thing, but when you have it be like just the way War Games is set up. It is that it's another thing that yeah, it's just kind of more of a heel gimmick for wrestling. Like yeah, the baby face is getting the advantage three different times is really anti-baby face.
Yeah, so I assume we'll see some shenanigans along the way there. But once again, both that match, very well built. Once again, the seemingly goal for the last 6 weeks of NXT TV has been to make Shotzi Blackheart a star, and I think they've fairly well succeeded in that. She is definitely been a real spark to this show, just like she's a spark in her workshop with her blowtorch, which is apparently making something.
Yeah, you know, that was one of those ones where that whole group kind of seems to fit together.
Yeah, it really does. I think it's really cool to see them together, and I'm crossing my fingers for a four-person tank. And I'm pretty sure
Oh.
that's exactly that. I don't think that they'll let that moment pass.
That'd be pretty cool. Because I do believe Shotzi has promised a new tank one way or the other. So that's definitely that's a possibility, and it would be pretty fun if they did that, or if they went full size tank, that'd be even better.
Yeah,
go full Rusev on it.
Oh yeah. Rusev with the rest of your career.
Oh man, just pray to God you just stay just on NXT for the rest of your life.
Just stay in the tank. Never leave the tank. Nothing good happens when you leave the tank.
Hot lava, hot lava. Oh man. Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, the women's match was pretty interesting. I guess I wasn't really surprised that well, I guess I was a little surprised. I forgot Leon Ruff. His improbable run keeps on coming here. He gets a pinfall, even if it was over Raul Mendoza and not Santos Escobar.
Yeah, this whole thing has been fun. You know, this Leon Ruff with his you know unlikely champion deal. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I like the interplay between him and Priest and Gargano. The match should be fun, especially since I assume the structure of this show is going to be, you know, start with a War Games, end with a War Games. So,
oh, right.
Certainly, you know, two of the three other matches are going to feature a good bit of comedy, and this is going to be one of those.
yeah, because the women's match definitely I feel like has a little more of a serious tone to it. The guys definitely seems like there's going to be some wacky hijinks involved in it. Just because of everyone, there's going to be some hijinks, especially involving Indy Hartwell. But because we got a mystery man involved with the men, I think that's why it gets the wacky tag.
Well, there's two now. There's two ghost faces now.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, unless I was looking at a reflection. It appears now that Johnny Gargano has two ghost faces.
Oh, man, did poor Malcolm Bivens lose his Indian friends? And did Johnny Gargano get them?
It's very possible.
I honestly should remember the one guy's name because he was a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates for a while who didn't do well at that and became a professional wrestler instead, which is fascinating. Yeah, I guess those two are a possibility. But yeah, having that reveal in your back pocket is kind of fun. I would imagine that we will find out who they are at War Games. Has there been any speculation about who the ghost faces are?
I've seen the speculation with Austin Theory being one of them. The other one is like the second one is a completely new wrinkle thrown in. So I certainly have no idea.
Hey, okie dokie. I know that I do not always do a great job of looking on the interwebs for possible spoilers or things of that nature. So I was just wondering if I was missing something. Yeah, so that one should be fun. There's definitely going to be some wacky hijinks with, cause is the strap match with, Dexter Lumis and, Cameron Grimes at War Games also? Cause that's one of the matches in between, is it not?
Yes, it is. And that will be all comedy.
Yeah, well, so we can't get too much comedy, I guess, in the men's with that one waiting on deck. And I'm trying to think what else is really it is set up for War Games other than the two War Games matches. Like, oh, is it the big tag team match? The is it?
No. I think Ciampa versus Thatcher is
Oh,
also going to be on the show,
yeah. Well,
which doesn't really excite me because Ciampa is stale to me, and Thatcher never wins big matches. So good for them for getting on the show. I guess making it longer.
yeah. I don't have. I'm not very invested in that feud. Like, I guess I want to like Timothy Thatcher at least some, but he has not really found a good fit footing under himself during this NXT run so far.
No. I mean, for someone with his gimmick, he just loses too much. How can the wrestler's wrestler always be foiled so decisively so many times?
Yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, not a good sign for Mr. Thatcher, but he does have a sidekick now, and I do
Yeah.
think that
And
that
they
will.
give him TV time every week.
Yeah, oh.
It's why it's weird that they've had him lose so much. It's like he gets TV, he gets time.
Yeah, I they definitely like him. I mean, that guy has had a segment at least for 2 months running, I would say, with the Thatch Can wrestling segments.
But speaking of segments, the hell's going on with Xia Li and Boa?
Oh.
This seems like a lot of time and resources going into these segments featuring two people who, as far as I know, as far as I remember, have never actually won a match on NXT.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That is a weird shit, yeah.
Plus, it's one of those angles where it's almost into that, Matt Hardy Broken Universe type of thing. I feel, and it's just a feeling. Maybe I should ask my roommate who is genuinely Chinese if it feels genuinely Chinese. But they seem to be trying to come at it from a different cultural perspective, I feel like. And I don't know if maybe that's why it's confusing. Or if it's something else that is, well, yeah. I mean, you described the biggest part of it is there isn't a whole lot of investment in either of these characters. Like,
Well, I guess there is now, but
but even then, it's just it's this weird curiosity. It's another one where it's a weird curiosity because like they almost need to come out of this and not be necessarily shot to the top, but they need to do something in ring to undo the losing that they've done. Well, A, I don't think I've seen Boa in the ring ever. And I know I've watched enough NXT now that Xia Li has gotten a few wins here and there, but
Yeah, I was
nothing can
exaggerating.
it, but yeah, nothing consistent though. Like, I mean,
No,
for every
for the
match that
longest.
she's won, she's probably lost two or three.
More than that.
Okay,
Because
six
the
or
whole thing,
seven.
yeah, because the whole thing was a long losing streak, but leading to their master showing up. But he's not actually the master. This other lady is the master, and I guess there's going to be a big reveal for who this is.
Yeah, so I mean, as long as it's leading somewhere, it'll be interesting. But I honestly got more of a laugh out of that segment because Beth Phoenix is like, "Oh, hey, we're just watching water torture. Let's go to this happy fun interview." And I'm like, "What? Like, we're just gonna pretend this shit isn't happening still?" It's not like Vic or Wade Barrett exactly dwelled on that segment either. Like, it is in this weird Looney Tunes part of NXT lore currently, I guess, with Dexter Lumis and his staring. Yeah, oddly, NXT has kind of started to go there a lot now that I think about it. Into Looney Tunes land here, Matt Hardy, Broken Universe land.
Right.
So, yeah, they need to do something with it. And obviously, it's not gonna, I wouldn't think it's gonna get done at War Games, but they need to have some payoff after War Games here sometime for that angle and start moving it forward. But yeah, I think that about does it for NXT though, honestly. Like, I don't. So I am ready to talk about this is one of my favorite beers of the summer, definitely well, of the year. I know we're well past summer at this point. But yeah, still clearing out the summer beers. And this one, Wolf's Ridge Brewing, right here in Columbus, Ohio, which does deliver all over the state now. Their Cherry Cordial. It's part of their Clear Sky series, which is a cream ale, which is an excellent beer just by itself. I have found myself liking a nice light cream ale every now and again. But this Cherry Cordial happens to have cherry, cacao, and vanilla in it. And it does indeed taste like a cherry cordial. It has a little bit of a sourness from the cherry. It has just enough chocolatiness to it. And the vanilla can get overwhelming sometimes in some beers that have vanilla, but they handle themselves with restraint and just have a nice little touch of vanilla in there. It is a fantastic beer that I cannot speak highly enough of. So that is my bell time beer of the show here. I'm at DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate us on any of the podcast apps that will let you. Since we are on all of them, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, find us, listen to us, review us. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Later.